Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, July 19th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning, and Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, everybody.
Just a three-man show today. Jason is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. But that's okay, because we have you on an open line Thursday.
Absolutely.
You can call in throughout the show on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. Bring up whatever you want. It's the way it works. You can also text us, Thomas Creek Windows text machine. Same number, standard message, data charges may apply, and tweet us at Junks Radio. On the program today, Dan Orlovsky is going to join us. We're a week away from training camp. I believe the Ravens start training camp today. Is that right, Valdez?
Start very early. I heard their date last week, and it is early.
I thought it was tomorrow.
I thought it was today, but maybe it's tomorrow. Either way, they're starting in the next day or so.
That's crazy.
So NFL training camp is upon us. I think their rookies had shown up last week, so some teams are getting going early. Redskins will be starting training camp in a week. We'll talk to Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback. Now he's got a gig with ESPN.
Nice.
So he'll join us. Also, Hank Haney, golf coach, used to be Tiger Woods' coach. He'll be joining us. Looks like the Open Championship is underway.
Absolutely.
This is the type of morning that Valdez, he lives for. When he wakes up and there's major championship golf on TV, and he doesn't have to sling it from eight different devices. He can just turn on the TV and bam, there it is.
It's right there.
It is great. And it's like when the World Cup was on. You know, while we're doing the show.
Yep.
Anytime there's like real, live, meaningful sports action on
at
6 in the morning, it's pretty freaking cool.
And especially you're still waiting for baseball to get started back up after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Just a dearth of things going on. You welcome it.
Cakes, does that sicken you, though? The brown grass?
Yeah, I've talked about it for years. I know the golf purists are rolling around in their graves, but I'm sorry. It's just ugly to look at. It just is.
Well, we learned earlier this week they don't use a sprinkler.
And I know it's the birthplace of golf.
Well,
I get it.
They haven't had rain in for months.
Right.
So, I mean, they're just sort of at the mercy of that.
And it's built on sand.
Yeah. But you know what? It's fine. I can get through it. Because most of my open watching will be in here in the studio for the most part. So I don't really subject myself to it over the weekend. But
is there a point in your life that you ever embrace? Like, I know we used to play. Like, we grew up in our teen years, in our 20s and 30s. Like, Cakes would play golf.
Yeah.
He did. It was part of his life. I don't know, though, that you ever watched it. Did you ever watch?
I was never a huge
you never watched
golf
it. You just played it.
Watcher.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'll watch from time to time during majors if something huge is happening. But I'm not just going to plop myself down and watch, like, the third round of the Memorial for 2 hours.
You'll gamble on it.
Oh, I'll gamble on it.
He's got a big bet going today. He doesn't even know the names of the guys he bet on.
All I know is I need Oliver
Wilson.
He does
that all the time.
I need Oliver Wilson to do well.
It's because he's a degenerate.
He is a degenerate.
But the weird thing is, and I don't understand it, is Cakes hates golf. We can say that.
Hate is a strong word.
He's got on the verge of hating. Disdain for it.
He's on the verge of hating golf.
Right. Yeah.
But he does a weekly golf pool.
It's just the micro sweat. There's different avenues of gambling
he could do to get that fix.
He bet on Arena Football League, I believe. Definitely the XFL. He got into a fantasy league.
I was in an XFL fantasy league. I don't think I've ever dabbled in Arena Football.
Okay. He got into a fantasy league on Premier League Soccer.
I did, yes.
He doesn't know three players in the Premier League.
No, deep down, he's a degenerate gambler, but he's somehow able to mildly control it.
Right.
I mean, actually moderately control it. He doesn't really overstep his bounds. He did that one time back in his late 20s or whatever that was, where he blew off about, I don't know, about 20K or something in a month online blackjack.
Yeah, those are the dark days.
That was a dark day. But for the most part, he keeps it in check. But he's not that different than DGens. I'll never forget reading a story that Phil Ivey and Barry Greenstein, they're like poker nerds, so don't worry if you don't know who they are. They would bet on raindrops on a window and which one would race to the bottom first.
Yeah, I don't think I'm on that level.
In other words, they bet on anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where I put Cakes in that category.
Well, I don't think I'm to that extreme yet.
But I think you would. Now, you might not put 100K on it, but I think you'd
do it for dollars.
You'd bet a dollar on raindrops.
Sure, why not?
Which one was beat? Which one?
Like a sweat. Like exactly. Drab T-shirt. He likes a healthy sweat. Your boy over here likes a sweat.
Drab likes to hit a long shot. That's like his fantasy.
Yeah, I came in and asked him, I said, who's your long shot for the Open? He said, my account is felted. I can't bet on anybody.
Yeah, taking a summer break. But Cakes, Cakes will bet on anything. He bets
pretty
on,
much.
He comes in and he says, let me guess what sandwich you brought in today.
Yeah, they do that bit.
Yeah, I'll do that.
They
why
do
not?
That a lot. Or God, you were playing another game the other day. I can't remember what it was. You're betting on, I don't know.
By the way, we've really slowed down on the random dollar bets. We're kind of disappointed in that.
You want to ramp? Like, you guys feel like you need to ramp it up?
Well, I like the action a little bit more than Drab does, apparently.
Right. I only like to
so
bet.
So he would lose money, or was it a one-way deal?
No, it's like a free dollar. So he's showing his sandwich
it's
now.
A free roll. It's great.
Hold it up, Drab.
All right, here, Cake.
Turn it around.
It's not even, what do you have, like a paper towel around it?
Yeah, paper towel, Ziploc bag.
Did your lovely wife, Sarah, make the sandwich for you? Did you make it?
Oh, she didn't make anything.
I made it this morning.
You made it this morning.
All right, hold on. Why do you wrap it in a paper towel?
What I've always done, because I make it on the paper towel.
And then you just fold it up and then you dump it.
Zip
okay,
up.
All right.
What he wants Drab, to keep the crumbs.
What does Drab have in the bag? I'm going to say.
If he made it this morning, it's got to be a quickie.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's very exotic.
PBJ, I'm going PBJ.
No, I don't think he's a big PBJ guy. I'm going to go with roast beef with a slice of like pepper jack cheese on it.
So terrible.
That's the worst guess
ever. PB's all over it.
It's peanut butter
and honey.
Yeah, and honey.
Very close.
That's a very good guess.
Well, because when you do it in the morning and you're butt tired.
Yeah, you're just slapping it together.
Yeah, you're doing the quickest. Yeah.
Plus, he leaves earlier now than ever because he moved further away.
Yeah. What time are you leaving your house now?
I leave the house at 4:28.
Oh, my God. And what time are you getting up?
3:55.
I don't even know your habits. Do you jump in the shower like JP, or do you come in like me, dirty?
I take showers at night.
Yeah.
Coming
dirty.
Oakley gets a quick walk.
Yeah, very quick.
Oh, you're going to walk that dog? God, that's annoying. So you're walking the dog at like 4:10 in the morning.
Screaming at him, telling him to take his deuce already. Hurry up.
You're kidding.
Meanwhile, the neighbors,
eating grass.
The neighbors are just like, why is this guy
now,
like yelling at his dog at 5 in the morning?
How many times does it take like 20, 30 minutes before he does his business?
It takes 10 minutes. And a lot of times I say, you're finished. Let's go.
Yeah. Does he ever respond?
He responds when I come home and there's a big doo-doo in the house.
Oh, there is.
What a nightmare. I swear, the stories.
Best thing ever is never
I understand
a dog.
There are millions of people that love their pets and they love their dogs or their cats or whatever they have. But the stories I hear just make me think, why?
Yeah.
Why? Come home to a duty? I'm sorry, not interested.
He's got to get up at 4:10 and walk the dog.
3:55.
3:55.
Yeah.
3:55. There's a 3 on his clock.
Right.
He's walking the dog.
He gets a limited amount of sleep.
Oh.
He's
you can
tired
get an extra,
all the
you
time.
You can probably get an extra 20 to 30 minutes.
And he's got to dedicate that time to his dog that does nothing but poop in his house, scratch up his brand new hardwood floors, and wait till it gets older, and then you have inevitably the heartbreak.
Yeah, you're going to have the heartbreak. I mean, Mike Wise, lives in my neighborhood. I see Mike every day. We go to the same pool. Our kids are on the same swim team, et cetera. Mike just lost his dog.
I know, Luli.
Devastated.
I saw the post on Twitter.
The whole fit devastated. And I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, I get being devastated as part of your family, but I don't get then doing it again.
Yeah, I could.
Over and over and over.
You don't have kids. I get it. My daughter Isabella, who's just one, loves dogs. Like every time we're walking, and I just think to myself because I know my wife grew up with dogs. And I'll hear occasionally, I'm going to get a dog. And yes, I do want to make her happy, but I just think it's so great that she can just see the dogs that are going out for walks.
Yeah, go see the neighbor's dog.
Andy petted them for a minute or
and
two.
And then move on.
And then move on.
Yeah, right? It's not a bad strategy. Yeah.
So I say every time, I say the best dog, the neighbor's dog.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not really trained? I mean, how long have you had?
He's going to boot
what's the dog's
he's
name?
Going to boot camp in a week.
What's the dog's name?
Oakley.
Oakley.
Yeah.
How much does boot camp cost?
Way too much.
How much? How much?
See, is it for a week?
What is it? $500?
No, 3 weeks.
Oh, 3 weeks. No way. It's only $500.
Three weeks
of boot camp. How many hours a day?
Oh, he's living there.
Oh, he's being housed overnight.
Yeah. So room it's 1500. It's 500.
No,
a week.
It's more than that. It's
500 a week.
I'm gonna say it's $2,000.
$2,000.
$2,000. Well, that's this dog's a nightmare, huh? That tells me this dog's a nightmare.
$1,500 to $2,000.
That tells me you and Sarah sat down and said, "We got to do something about this."
Yeah, you're pretty much
that's
right.
A lot of extra podcasts over there, yeah. Ricky. You better keep cranking them out.
Jamie
are the hardwood
Java.
Floors, the brand new hardwood floors, are they a show?
Yeah, they're kind of a show, but that's what happens. I'm not that worried about it. That's not his fault.
Scratching up the floors is not his fault.
Well, when you're a big dog and you have a lot of torque.
Well, why don't you? I mean, I don't even know. Is it considered inhumane to like take the claws off or whatever? Like, don't they do that kind of thing?
Declaw. I think you can only do that with cats.
You can't do it with dogs. I don't know. I'm not an animal person.
You're supposed to trim the paws,
the nails or whatever.
The nails on the paw.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter with big dogs. When they turn,
they're gonna
they're
gonna torture your. There's somebody that I saw recently. The guy did. I guess he didn't realize it. He was in a suit. The entire suit was fur. It was from the dog. It looked so nuts.
It's so fur suit.
It looks so nuts.
Dog hair suit.
And I'm like, he thinks he looks silly, and he looks terrible. Well, it's just fur
he's
all
gotta,
over the
he's
suit.
He's got to get a lint roller. I mean, you can't walk around in a suit like that. You got to get it off.
I mean, what's going on? How does that happen?
It's a chore, man.
Because the hair's everywhere. The hair's all over the furniture.
I have a fabric bed.
What do you mean a fabric bed?
Well, it's like a cloth. Like it's the headboard and the side. I don't know what it would be called.
Right.
Tweed or something.
Yeah.
So I'm always taking the dust devil out and vacuuming the side of
the bed. Because you got the dog up in your bed all the time, right?
It just goes everywhere.
Right. Again, I know
everywhere.
People love their dogs and they love their animals.
Yeah,
treat them like family. And I get it to
part.
An extent. But then when I hear the cons,
for
me
huge.
Personally, they outweigh the pros.
Yeah,
there are some cons. There are some James cons,
but
no
when
doubt.
You get in bed at night and then he jumps in and puts his head on your chest, it's just so silly.
You get sized?
You get sized. Makes all worth it.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Valdez has got to move Manny off the bed so he can fit on his bed.
No chance he does that.
He definitely slept on the bed last night with
me. It's Mancini now.
Mancini.
Manny
That's
Machado
right.
is with the Dodgers.
That's right.
Yeah, by the way, are you in mourning? Like, I mean, you could see it coming. I mean, no, we've talked about it for
I'm actually not, because I wanted to trade Manny last season, but because they would have gotten a better haul.
Now,
but I mean, the writing was on the wall.
But when did Baltimore become, I guess it's just been this way, but when did Baltimore become like a small market team that has to unload their superstars? I don't remember. Like, growing up,
they
it wasn't that
way. They just
haven't
been able to compete
they wouldn't
financially
have been
for the last 10 to 15 years. They haven't. Now, they gave big money to Chris Davis and some of these guys, but that clearly hasn't worked out.
I don't know. They
so
don't
any
wanna...
new young superstars you guys get are pretty much going to be shipped off, you know, when they hit 26, 27.
Maybe if they're playing better and they're pulling in fans and making more money, but nobody's attending the games.
I don't know.
I did see.
Let's have the Nats give Bryce $500 million and see how that goes.
I did see that their GM said they're now going to, this was kind of sad to see. Says now they're going to embrace, they're changing their philosophy. Now they're going to embrace analytics and international free agency.
Well, welcome to 2018. They should have been doing that a dozen years ago.
What are they waiting for?
Hey, they had one of the best records over the last 5 years.
Oh, I know.
In all of baseball.
That's true.
The Orioles.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, made the playoffs a couple times with Buck.
You just forget. It's so bad this year. Unbelievable.
They fell off
the
cliff.
Where were they predicted at the beginning of the...
Oh, they were predicted to be... Who?
Everyone knew it.
Yeah.
Although I remember we had Eddie Matz on. He was excited because of some pitcher.
I think it was
Cashner
expected to be bad, but not as bad
as it was
going to
be. I think the season totals was like 76 wins.
Well, that's reasonable. That's not embarrassing.
And they
not,
were, I think, also,
still bad, but.
Also guessing that Buck would maximize their potential because he's been a good manager for them.
Right.
But remember, they start off the season with Chris Davis, who's hitting 150. As their leadoff hitter. Right.
Bizarre. Well, Manny's moved on. And so he's with the Dodgers. They got five prospects.
Five.
And then is it expected that the Dodgers will re-sign him? Is there sort of like a wink-wink deal with him and his agent? Or
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. Literally, it could be a rental for five prospects.
Could be a rental. They say that they want him to help them win the division first and foremost because they've been in a dogfight this year with Arizona. And then, obviously, go on a run, hopefully win a World Series with Manny Machado. And then he's just going to be a straight-up free agent.
Plus, was the Dodgers have Seager that plays short.
Right.
And Manny wants to play short. He doesn't want to play third.
They've got an all-star short and an all-star third.
Yeah.
Just all-star short.
I think he'd prefer to play short, but I thought I heard him say he, but he would play third.
I would guess it's a rental because they're not going to ship Seager for Manny.
Probably not. Although Manny Machado is, I would say, better.
Well, I would say so, too, but I think Seager's less money.
Yeah.
Well, he will be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So it'll be interesting. We had Mike Rizzo from the Nationals, the GM, on the show yesterday. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Of course, he was kind of nebulous with us.
They usually make moves. It was the first time he kind of teased us by mentioning selling. You know, he's always he's said in the past that we do it all. We sell, we buy, we all that, whatever's in the best. But I got a sense that he was a little more open to the idea of maybe moving something that you know, zigging when we all were zagging.
Possible.
He could surprise us.
All right, we'll talk about it throughout the show today. As I mentioned, Dan Orlovsky to talk some NFL. He'll join us at 9. And Hank Haney talk Open Championship at 9:40 right here on The Junkies.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Four under right now. A lot of the big boys haven't teed off. I think Tiger tees off around 10.
10-20.
You're gonna be riveted all afternoon. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon viewing. You're gonna get all your work done early. You're gonna zoom home and watch Tiger.
Do you want the leaderboard?
Yeah,
right
I
now?
Got it. A lot of guys are in at 3 under. So Van Ruyen in the lead. He's already completed his round. So he finishes at 4 under. Danny Willett, Cantlay, Kisner.
I have Van Ruyen at 5 under.
Okay, what I see is 4.
I have him at 5 under, and he's still got 18 to play. This is according to PGAtour.com.
18 to play?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
The 18th hole.
He finished with the 67 is what I have.
Oh, then he messed up bogeyed 18.
Hadley, Stone, Kisner, Cantlay, Willett all in at 3 under. So that's what you have going on right now. Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Matt Kuchar.
Spieth is right
they're
there.
They're 1 under.
Spieth is at 2 under.
Spieth's at 2 under.
It's incredible with his play in the majors. And, you know, he's not been putting well.
He's been playing like poop.
But the guy figures out a way in the
majors. He is the defending Open champion.
Yeah.
Can't take him lightly.
And last night I was watching the recap of what he did sort of on the back nine. He was kind of falling apart and gave up his lead, I think, right after the 9th hole, something like that. And then remember he hit it wayward and had everybody looking for it on the other side of the berm, and he somehow pulled out a miraculous 5 and then just got going and just stole it from, I think it was Cooch.
We have the live coverage on here in the studio, and I think it was Danny Willett just hit one out of one of those pot bunkers. If I was in one of those pot bunkers, I think I would just cheat on the hole like Phil Mickelson did on that one hole and just say, just give me the penalty.
Yeah, you might have to.
What would happen if you just pick it up and say, I can't get out of the pot bunker?
Just throw it out.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's my only recourse at this point.
We start off talking about the Manny Machado deal, so... Manny Machado, the 3-time All-Star for the Baltimore Orioles, was traded finally to the L.A. Dodgers. It looked like it was going to be the Phillies earlier this week. The Orioles get a haul of 5 prospects, including a guy who hit 2 home runs in the All-Star Futures game here in D.C. They got 2 third basemen. I don't know what that means, if one of them is a better prospect than the other, and a couple of pitchers. And as I mentioned, Duquette, who is their GM, whatever his job title is there, said that's not only a trade of Manny Machado, but they are going to embrace some things which they haven't embraced, analytics, international free agency.
What does that mean? It's just sort of embarrassing to say in 2018.
Yeah, why would you even admit that? You just do it and then let it fly under the radar that you haven't been doing it for the past, I don't know, decade, dozen years.
Well, they might
years.
Have done it to an extent, but they were a team very reliant on the long ball. Now, a lot of teams are like that, but.
Well, good luck to the Orioles.
We'll see what happens with Manny Machado.
By the way,
probably good for the Nationals because he stays out of the division.
Now, this should come as no surprise, but the Orioles' TV ratings down 50% through the midway part of the season.
Yeah,
I mean, why would you want to watch that train wreck on a nightly basis?
Right, and they're giving away tickets for kids for free.
Correct.
I don't know that I've ever seen a team at the halfway point 40 games back, 39 and a half.
Games. It's bad.
I think their
record's actually better than Kansas City's. Can you check that? Feel like KC might have either equal or maybe slightly worse of a record. And they were in the World Series a couple years ago.
That's incredible.
Won the World Series.
What happened to those guys? What happened to that seven-inning game? You know, their whole bit where they would just get to the seventh inning and then it would be over.
They couldn't afford any of their players.
Yeah. Yeah, they're right there with them. They've got 27 wins. They have one less win.
Yeah, one less win.
Yeah.
Race
for the bottom. But they're only 25 games back.
It's not 40 back. It's 39 and a half.
Yeah.
Let's get the numbers correct here.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It's funny because I felt like all these teams were competing for Manny Machado. The Nationals weren't one of them because they don't have room for him. But I do feel like if there's a star out there that a team's desperate to unload, the Nationals got to at least consider it. Why not?
Well, who are the other big stars out there?
There aren't any big-time, like, everyday players. There's some pitchers of note.
Right. Well, I think some pitchers they might be interested in.
Yeah, they might be in the market for one of those guys.
Yeah. But it is interesting when we had Rizzo on yesterday and he says that, you know, he kind of was bragging about he'll always surprise you.
Yes.
You know.
He pulled on a Valdez move. He said he likes to zig when everybody else zags.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Why don't you tell Rizzo he's stupid to his face?
Well, because he's definitely not.
Yeah,
because
he's a little more accomplished.
Yeah, smart people zag when people zig.
Right. Well, what does that mean? So when he says that, everyone assumes they're going to be in the market for pitching. So does that mean, look out, what else could it mean?
We're looking at bats?
Another bat?
Or it might mean everybody expects us to make a move. We're not going to make a move at all.
Right.
That was true, too.
Well, I asked him. I said standing pat is one of those options, and he said yes.
Hey, Valdez, I'm zigging with you on this wacky British Open prop bet. So I'm right there with you, my friend. I hope you're a genius.
So
if not, I'm going to ridicule you.
The All-Star Game, of course, was here in town, and by most accounts, it got really good reviews. The city did very well. The ratings, though. Baseball has got to be concerned. Attendance is down
Across 7%, I believe.
The country. We had Eddie Matz on from ESPN yesterday, and he blamed it on a lot of teams being non-competitive, and maybe that's the case. But America's Got Talent beat the All-Star game in the ratings.
That is not good, because America's Got Talent, that is basically your summer fill-in program.
And according
on NBC.
To this story, NBC's 8 to 10 p.m. America's Got Talent repeated the previous week's episode.
Hold on, so that wasn't even live? So
it was a repeat.
So people would rather watch a repeat of Mel B and all those dogs like Simon Cowell than watch live MLB All-Star Game.
These are early numbers and it could change, but the MLB All-Star Game clocked a 2.0 rating in the demo. 8.34 million viewers. America's Got Talent didn't lap them. It was a 2.1, but still beat them with repeat. And NBC's World of Dance at a 1.3.
It was close.
Well, anybody that watches World of Dance, I just don't know what you're doing with your life. But I'm sensing an opportunity here. Work with me. Maybe we can present the All-Star Game next year. Maybe we go in and say, look, your ratings are garbage. Let's make it the 106.7 The Fan and the Junkies present the 2019 All-Star Game from Cleveland.
Now,
go in and buy low.
I will say,
let's sponsor that thing because they're desperate. They have to be desperate. Listen to those terrible numbers.
Yeah, I will say, we always just assume the NCIS was kicking butt because they have a million NCISs.
Sure.
And maybe it does in the fall because I guess in the summer it's repeats. But CBS's best number against all that stuff.
Right.
I know Cakes used to be very concerned
about CBS. We're no longer affiliated with CBS.
I'm still a very minor stakeholder.
The minorist.
I mean, some of my 401k still has some CBS shares in it.
Well, NCIS New Orleans got a 0.4.
Ooh, yeah, by the way, did we do that, Kicks? Did we all transfer our CBS? I don't even know.
I did not.
I don't even know if I have a ton of CBS stock or not.
I had the option to switch it over to Entercom. I said, you're finished, Entercom.
He's in a Morgan Stanley account.
Yeah, that's what I have.
I don't even know.
Still, I care a little bit about NCIS.
What is CBS's stock at right now?
58 something.
Huh.
It's not terrible.
Not bad.
It ain't terrible.
A lot better than it was, 10 years ago when it was about 8.
Right.
We're doing good from there.
Well, back in 2008, 10 years ago, it was at about $4 a share.
Yeah, down to 4. Yeah.
That's when we should have just scooped all the chips. Just bought as much as we could.
We had no faith.
Oh, none whatsoever. We thought it was going to zero.
Tennessee Titans Pro Bowl defensive lineman Jarrell Casey, I think he's the first one to say it, says he's going to continue to protest during the national anthem, even if it means a fine. You wonder if he'll do that every week, if there's a fine every week. He was at an NFL event in London. He said he was not going to let the league dictate what he would do, and he would continue raising his fist at the end of the anthem in protest. He said, I'm going to take my fine this year. Why not? I'm going to protest during the flag. That's what I'm going to say now.
It's fine. Whatever. You do what you got to do. I actually like that more than the kneeling. So at least he's going to stand during it. He wants to raise a fist and make a point. That's fine. But do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
It's no secret that LeBron James wants to own an NBA team after playing out the rest of his career. But that doesn't appear to be the only sport he has an interest in. His business partner, Maverick Carter.
Yes.
Says he's already looked into football ownership.
Really?
Well, who wouldn't want
to
be a
football
owner?
As part of his future plans.
He already owns part of does he own part of Liverpool drab t-shirt? He owns part of a pretty high profile British
Liverpool
team.
Yeah.
That's Maverick or LeBron?
LeBron.
Didn't we just read the checks that the NFL owners just received in the last week or so? Their share of the revenue was something like $270 million. You see that?
So here you go. Each team,
each
got
NFL team.
This is extra revenue.
And I believe
it's just extra.
Yeah.
Was it extra or just what their share of the national
the revenue
TV
sharing?
Revenue.
Yeah. But I mean, essentially it's extra. It's not the fans going through your doors.
I think player payroll is capped out at 171.
Yeah.
So you're clearing $100 million just off that.
Yeah, I mean, it's
crazy.
Being an NFL owner, is a financial bonanza.
It's the only business that Dan Snyder can't screw up.
I mean,
he can screw up the running of it, but he can't screw up the finances.
Forbes just came out with the top 10 most valuable franchises in the world, and the Dallas Cowboys were number one. I think they were valued at $4.8 billion.
That's crazy.
And then I saw a little clip that I guess Donald Trump had an opportunity to buy the Cowboys. I think it was in the early 80s, maybe 1983, for the price of $50 million.
Right.
Think about the return on that. And he said,
well, what
no,
did Jerry
no.
Jones buy it for? What did Jerry Jones buy the Cowboys
for? I'd have to look at it.
$100 million or something?
No, I thought it was 60-something million.
$60 million. Yeah. Unbelievable investment.
Redskins come in fourth at $3.1 billion.
Crazy.
Fourth in the NFL.
Yes.
I think 10th on that list, though, because somehow the Knicks are worth $3.3 billion.
Madison Square Garden.
I guess that's it. They're in New York City.
Speaking of the NBA, the big deal yesterday was Kawhi Leonard was finally traded from the Spurs to the Raptors. Conflicting reports about Kawhi Leonard. There was one report that says he could sit out the entire season with the Raptors because he's so unhappy he doesn't want to play with Toronto. Now, if he does that, he foregoes $20 million.
It's not going to happen. I saw one blurb that said he's not sized for the cold. So I guess Pop said, we're definitely sending you to Toronto. Where's Mutt cold?
I still don't even understand why it went bad in San Antonio. Am I the only one that doesn't? I still don't even understand it.
Well, he had a falling out with his teammates, and they felt like they couldn't trust each other again.
Yeah, but everybody has a falling out.
Started
with
out with the injury.
He wouldn't play through
it. He believes the Spurs misdiagnosed him. He went to his own doctors. Then the Spurs kind of disrespected him and expected him to rejoin the team. He wasn't ready. And then I also read just that he has some people around him that have different thoughts that he should be playing in a big city
LA. If I'm his agent, I'm going to tell that big stupid, get a $1,000 North Face jacket and get on the plane to Toronto. Because I'm not missing out on $20 million, on my cut of $20 million of your commission. So you're going to go play in Toronto, even though you're unhappy, and then we're going to find you a nice warm weather destination next season.
Now here's, I'm reading on CBS
Sports. Get him a space heater.
Right, space heater and a fuzzy jacket.
So, obviously, if Kawhi doesn't report to Toronto and doesn't play, he's not going to get paid. They'll fine him up until his 20.1 salary or whatever, right? So, you effectively lose the entire salary. You shouldn't be paid if you're not going to play, right?
Of course not. If you're healthy.
But they're saying there is a weird rule in the 2017 NBA Collective Bargaining Agreement. It's Article 11, if I know my Roman numerals. That states that if a player sits out more than 30 days, he could lose his 2019 free agent status.
Oh, he's definitely not doing that.
Until the Raptors agree to let him go.
You know, if Kawhi wants to play in a warm weather destination, we should open up an NBA team in this studio. Because it's always tropical in here. It's like 79 in here every single day.
I'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to have some lingering injury again this season.
Is that what it is?
Yes, he'll just sit out.
So he'll play like the first game.
He'll play
or two.
The first week,
he'll,
2 weeks.
Turn his ankle, and then he won't play the rest of the year.
Exactly.
Well, they say if he does that, if Kawhi just says he's injured, the Raptors do have the ability. They could file a dispute, call for a neutral physician to examine him, and determine whether or not he should be playing.
I like that.
So they have a little bit of protection.
Kind of fascinating too with Kawhi is that he was always billed as like a under the radar guy, not like. Not this guy that falls into the trappings of fame and wealth. Now he's kind of painted as a malcontent.
Yep.
Just a guy that you don't want on your team.
He's a guess pain is in the ass. In the end, he's going to play.
Oh, he's definitely going to play.
He's going to play, and they're going to be one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. Because Kawhi's a little bit better than DeMar DeRozan, and they already were the best team in the regular season in the Eastern Conference. So they're going to be a contender. And maybe he'll be won over. I think that's the Raptors' plan. Paul George ended up surprising people by re-signing with OKC because he can make the most money there. And I believe the deal is, let's say he plays this year with Toronto, via free agency, he could go to LA, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers, and it would be like a 4-year deal, $140 million, or he can sign a 5-year, $190 million deal with the Raptors.
Yeah. See how much he hates the cold when he tries to turn out an extra $50 million for 1 year. I think you embrace the coldness.
Do you think they did that really just to stick it to him, or do you think the Spurs did it because that DeRozan was the best they could get?
Well, they probably got the best deal. And the fact that you can put him in sub-zero temperatures and he hates the cold is just a bonus.
Stick him with taxes. Yeah. Stick him with the sub-zero.
Right. Different country. Get out of here.
I mean, would you rather have DeMar DeRozan or the Wizards apparently threw their hat in the ring and were throwing out Otto Porter?
Right? I mean, come on.
Otto.
I don't even know if I would want to make that trade if Kawhi was going to come to D.C. and just be a malcontent either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if he's only there for 1 year.
Yeah.
He's just going to bolt. No thank you.
But the weird part is nobody hears from him.
Yeah, he's
like,
a
he's a malcontent, although nobody is hearing from him.
Yeah.
All right, phone number if you want to chime in. It is Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. I'm intrigued, and maybe you guys have seen the story.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you about it. So, apparently a kid, actually a man, on his first day of work at a new job, was driving to work and his car broke down and then he walked 20 miles to his first day of work.
I did
and
see
the
that
CEO
story.
Apparently gave him a car so he could drive there. What's a 20-mile walk?
Well, that's an 8-hour day, 10-hour day,
you have
right?
to do that overnight. Like,
right.
I saw the story. His car broke down and he realized... I think it was his first day on his new job.
Why wouldn't he just call the guy?
I don't know.
The car broke down.
Maybe he just didn't have any other options. He said, I got to walk it.
He didn't. Hello,
you know
Uber.
What? Dude's got a remarkable work ethic. I'll give him that.
I don't care. It's the dumbest story ever. It makes
right?
zero
did
sense.
Did the car break down the night before?
I think it was the night before.
It break down on his way?
No, it had to have been the night before because he wouldn't have had time to walk to
that's
to make
what
that
I was thinking.
Yeah, he walked overnight.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just call an Uber?
I think
he's felted, Rick.
And plus
felted.
It's in rural Alabama. Well, I don't know if it's rural, but it sounds like it is.
Most of Alabama is rural.
Yeah.
I mean, some places don't have Uber.
I can't imagine.
But he should use Lyft
because
it's cheaper.
But nowadays, there are a lot more options. How about,
I don't think you have that.
Yes, it's your first day of work.
How about a bike?
How about you call in sick?
But again, say my car broke down.
It sounds like he was felted. Probably doesn't have a bike.
What kind of job?
Like I said, I just saw it. Yeah, I didn't have time to.
This story annoys me.
I just saw it. I just was doing the math because my initial impression was, or at least I was thinking, when we first had our first meeting with WJFK in 1996, I believe. Maybe it was 97. Maybe we've been doing weekends, but I don't think so. I think this is 96 before we did weekends.
It's the very first time we met
with
the radio
station. For whatever reason, we all got into my mom's car at the time.
Yeah.
And it broke down. Yeah.
Broke down
on
66.
No cell phones.
No, it was 66, I think.
I'm pretty sure it was the Beltway. But either way, it was a big highway. And I think somehow we stumbled onto a cab for you guys to get into, and then I had a tow truck.
Probably called a cab.
We didn't have cell phones.
I don't know how. Somehow we got a cab.
Cell phones. This was done like word of mouth back in the day. Like if you had something, you needed somebody to help you out.
I think I might have had a cell phone at that time.
In 1996?
Like an old Nokia.
I would bet against it.
Right around that time.
I'm pretty sure nobody had a cell phone.
Look, I give the dude
and
credit.
And I had to wait around, and then I remember, because we were all dressed up, by the time I arrived like 45 minutes later.
Yeah.
So at that point, one of the biggest opportunities of our lives.
Yeah.
You guys just joked that the guys there, the program director and the assistant program director, they were dressed terribly.
They were dressed like radio
people.
Guys. Yeah.
We just weren't
they were
aware.
Just like Nick Ashew.
Right, but we weren't aware that that's how radio people dress.
Right. Well, we were dressed up.
They were in like shorts.
Yeah, they looked awful. It's like that's how people in radio basically dress.
Yes, unkempt.
Right.
Yeah, jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, kind of like how we look today.
Yeah. Well, how we look every day.
Yeah. Well, maybe we didn't. I don't know. It was a miracle then if we got a cab. I don't even know how we could have possibly got. I remember getting the ride. Maybe it was a tow truck.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can't remember.
I think I rode in the tow truck.
Right.
I rode in a tow truck, which had my car, which was broken down, which was my mom's hoopty.
Yeah.
Why we were all in my mom's hoopty, I don't know.
Because we were felted, like the guy who walked 20 miles to get to work.
We just drove in together. Four dogs drove in together.
You mentioned Nick Ashew, who's doing updates. I saw him pull off a move in the break room that I haven't seen anybody else do. Ooh. Here at 106.7
right, the break room, meaning our area, which has the vending machine and the coffee.
Basically, the kitchen here.
Yes.
So there's one cabinet that has a little cursive sign on it that says, take a mug, leave a mug. And it has 30 coffee mugs.
Right.
Just
that's because they're out of paper cups, right?
Just rando mugs. Like
yeah,
that people
there
bring
all the time,
here.
Even when they have the paper cups.
And
no, right, but I'm just saying it's probably why he reached
for
one.
We are out of cups.
Right.
So he went, he opened it, grabbed a mug, and I saw him do it. I was like, what are you doing? He says, he likes the heft of the coffee mug. He likes a heavier mug instead of a paper cup.
I would have to wash that for 20 minutes.
I just could never do it because of what you just brought up. You'd have to wash it.
Wash it for like, 20 minutes?
You'd have to wash it. Then you're going to trust somebody else to wash those mugs that are in that cabinet? No, thank you. I don't know who's taking care of those mugs.
You don't know who's drinking out of those mugs.
I don't know whose lips are on those things.
Exactly.
We're thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Not doing the take a mug, leave a mug ever here at 106.7 The Fan. I'd rather go thirsty.
And I don't know how you guys are, but like sometimes, how do you guys manage your sink, right? So if you have something that can be a quick wash, do you hand wash it or do you stuff it in your washing machine?
I hand wash almost everything.
I'm
the
have
opposite
trouble
of that
with
Cascade
that.
Commercial.
Almost everything goes in the dishwasher.
I don't really do any hand washing, especially like I get a coffee mug. Let's
if it's
say.
A big pot or big pan,
then that requires a hand washing.
No, let me correct. I pre-wash. So I do a courtesy
pre-wash,
and then
you
I put it in the washing machine.
Right.
But
because
I don't just
I
put something with all
this.
The crust.
Let's just say I'm out of coffee mugs or whatever. That would never happen because we have 7 million coffee mugs. But let's just say I was out of coffee mugs and I saw one and I wanted to hand wash it real quick and then use it. I never know. I never feel. I always put too much soap in it. I don't know to get the soap out, and then whatever I put in there is going to taste like soap. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to manage hand washing without everything tasting like soap.
You got
to
rinse several times.
Uber rinsing.
Yeah, because
so you
I'm
have
there
no
for
bubbles.
20 minutes washing the mug because I don't want it to taste like soap. I don't know how to do
it. Work you have to put in.
You have to put a lot of work in.
Or put a minuscule amount of dish soap in. Just a teeny, teeny drop.
And then you rinse it like 50 times.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
Because you don't want that nasty soap taste.
Nope.
That's why I put everything in the stupid machine.
Hey, whatever happened to the Nubs mug? Valdez used to have a mug where it's just basically.
Were you just begging for money?
Begging for money.
Yeah. What was the nut mug again? I can't remember.
It was an Iowa State mug that I found.
That's right.
And then you did. And where would you put it out?
Just had it like in the studio somewhere.
Just had it like in the studio.
And people would just tip you?
Donations accepted.
It was like a donation. Or if like anyone like found like a quarter.
Oh, just for change.
Yeah. It was mostly change.
Because most of the people in this room like abhor like coins. I will hoard them, but Eric hates coins, despises them. If he has pennies, he'll just like throw them in the trash.
Pennies are literally trash.
But back in the day, they'd go in the nut mug.
Oh yeah, they go in the nut mug.
By the way, what is that? I just noticed that cube, but the pennies. Where did that come from? Has that been there for a long time? I just noticed that this morning. Was that yours?
You're talking about this. This was sent to 106.7 The Fan last week by a listener.
All right.
Who was just cleaning out like his office or his basement, and he just found this work of art.
And he knows you collect pennies.
And he knows that I have an obsession with 1982 and prior pennies because they have a higher percentage of copper in those pennies.
Right. How many of those are pre-1982?
These are all pristine. I believe they're all from 1969.
Are they?
I think they're all 1969.
So he's
like
torturing you in a way
pennies.
Because you would like to get your hands on.
You know what
pennies.
I need? I need a big giant hammer to smash whatever this is, glass or high density plastic, and get these bitches out of this.
I am kind of
this cube prison that they're in.
Aren't you somewhat? You can only see this on NBC Sports Washington. Aren't you somewhat fascinated on how they did this?
Yeah, but the guy said it's a one of a kind piece of art that he found, and he knew my
art.
My fascination.
That's art.
Dude, I looked at this, and it's all kind of organized.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, I am fascinated in how they constructed this. How the hell did they do that?
I don't think it's that hard. Now, I don't remember the exact process, but we went to Eleanor Roosevelt High School, and part of it was we did either
two quarters or three years at home, something like that,
that we had to do something with polymers and plastic. Do you remember that? Did you ever have Mr. Pruitt?
Of course I did. It was a fancy name for shop class.
Yes.
All I was trying to do was not cut my finger off with a bandsaw.
I did something like that with a guitar pick inside it.
All right. Well, maybe.
I don't remember how to do it. That was, 1986.
Maybe you learned it at a science and tech school that you went to. But I know at DeMath, they didn't teach you how to do that.
That's
impressive, right?
That's pretty cool.
It's not bad. But I wish I had those pennies in my piggy
bank.
Those
pennies, they're worth, maybe instead of 1 cent, they're worth 2 cents.
I think they're worth, I think each one of those pennies trapped in that cube prison, I think they're worth 2.1 cents.
Oh, the double.
So, down the road, when they abolish the penny and realize, well, this is stupid. We're losing money by making pennies. We're abolishing it. We're getting rid of it. Your boy's going to be sitting on, I don't know, hundreds of dollars worth of pennies at my house.
You have that many pennies at the
not
home?
Not that many. I'm trying.
You might have $100.
I have a piggy bank. It's literally a piggy bank. It's about this big.
Is it a pig?
And it's a pig. It's clear and it has nothing but 1982 and prior, mostly copper pennies. Yes, right. I'm a big, giant loser. I understand.
Remember, a little bit later in the show, we will talk some NFL. About a week from training camp for the Redskins, Dan Orlovsky is going to join us, former NFL quarterback. And we'll talk some golf. Talk about the Open Championship with Hank Haney, Tiger Woods' former coach at 940 on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.